Constant Wonder Kids is a Constant Wonder podcast.
Hi, Wonder Kids. It's Paige. Have you ever been scared by a bee before? I've been stung once or twice, so I know the feeling of surprise and maybe even fear that we can feel when a bee comes buzzing around our ears. We've mentioned bees a couple of times in our Constant Wonder Kids episodes because bees are pollinators. Pollinators are bugs and animals that help plants spread their pollen so that more plants can grow. When bees buzz from flower to flower, they spread pollen and help make the world a more beautiful place. So bees are pretty important, even if they might make you nervous. For a long time, people have described bees using the term hive mind, meaning most bees you see are just little soldiers doing whatever the queen bee directs. But today's guest pushes back on that idea. He says there's a lot more going on in the mind of a bee than we thought.
We are surrounded by other minds in the same way as we are thinking and feeling and suffering and enjoying beings. There are other thinking and feeling and suffering and enjoying beings all around us. So we don't need to travel to outer space to encounter strange life forms. They're right here under our noses.
This is Lars Chitka. He's a German zoologist and ecologist based at the Queen Mary University of London. He's also the author of The Mind of a Bee, so he's spent a lot of time learning about how bees think and even how bees feel.
Many of the things that bees do sometimes look to an outsider as if the individual is just a negligible unit of that bigger thing that is the swarm or the hive. But if you look a little more closely, the decision-making is still performed by individuals.
What Lars means here is that bees aren't just a swarm of group thought. Individual bees have individual experiences. Now, how does Lars know all of this? He and his team have performed countless experiments on bees to discover how they respond in different situations. One thing they wanted to find out is if bees could learn and share knowledge with others.
So we started with some experiments where we taught bees to pull a string for a reward. And these kinds of string pulling tasks are a kind of historic intelligence test where people have tested apes, clever corvid birds, and so on to probe the flexibility that they had in getting to a reward that was out of reach, but for which you needed to pull a string to get to that reward.
So lots of animals have undergone this type of intelligence test before. The question is if bees could figure this out as well.
So in our case, we presented the bees with some artificial flowers, just a disc with a nectar reward in the center. We always give them a sugar reward if they've got something right. They reward themselves with sweetness if they find the right flowers. And so these artificial flowers were presented under a glass table and they were attached to a string. So the only way to get to the flowers was to pull on a string until you extracted it from underneath the table, and then you could get the reward in the center. But not only could bees learn this technique that no individual in their history had ever encountered before, but they could also learn this by observation. So if you inserted one skilled individual into a group, a bee that had learned to pull a string, then over time, lots of other individuals would pick up this technique. First, just a few, and then it spreads through a whole colony and then basically becomes a kind of colony-specific culture. This is, of course, not part of their hardwired routine. No bees have ever had to pull strings for rewards. But they can not just learn it by themselves, but also by copying each other.
So bees can learn how to pull a string. And even better, they can teach other bees how to pull the string and get food, too. That's pretty cool. So Lars has been able to learn some things about bee intelligence and their ability to think. What about their ability to feel?
We can't talk to it. We can't ask, how do you feel today? For this reason, not too long ago, people would have regarded the question of insect emotions as ridiculous.
I guess that's true. I can't go up to a bee and ask how she's feeling today. But scientists are able to observe behaviors that might give us a clue about bee emotions. Feelings like fear.
We did an experiment about 15 years ago. We were interested in the question of whether bees can learn about predation threat.
That means that scientists were wondering if bees can learn about and prepare for predators, or bugs that want to eat them.
And in this case, the question was about so-called crab spiders. These are predators that lurk on flowers. They just sit there and wait, and they're a bit like a chameleon in that they can actually take on, in some species at least, the color of the flowers on which they hide, and they pounce on unassuming pollinators. So we took what we called our robotic crab spiders, and the robot spider could briefly capture a bee between two sponge pads without injuring it and then release it. In the same way as an unsuccessful spider attack, a predator attack, where you as a prey have the opportunity to learn from the experience. And we did find that the bees learn to avoid the flowers with spiders. That was perhaps unsurprising. But the surprising thing was that, number one, their whole demeanor changed. They would fly very slowly and very cautiously, inspecting every flower after such simulated attacks. But the most surprising thing was that the experienced bees would display lots of false alarms. That is, they would inspect a flower that was actually perfectly safe and then reject it as if they'd seen a ghost. And so there wasn't a current stimulus of a spider. It was something that the bees conjured up from the past, having had this unpleasant experience.
Poor bees. They learned to be scared because of their experiences with robotic crab spiders. But don't worry. Lars says that the bees can also learn to have fun by playing with toys, just like you and me.
We manipulate objects, including balls, just for the joy of the activity in itself. And the same seems to be the case with bees as well. We train bees to roll balls to a destination.
They would train the bees by rewarding them with sugar whenever they got the ball to the right place.
That was a learned behavior in that case, but an unexpected observation as part of that experiment, we also found that some bees just came to these balls and rolled them around without any kind of sugar reward. So they just seemed to come back to the balls for the sake of rolling the balls around. And that, of course, mirrors what you find with many other animals, not just our familiar pet dogs, but squirrels, cats, and so on will also play with balls sometimes. So there is evidence that it is actually likely that there is a spectrum of emotion-like states in bees.
Lars doesn't just study bees in the lab. He also tracks bees as they go about their days in the outside world, pollinating plants. To keep an eye on bees in these environments, Lars needs to use technology.
So what we use is a so-called transponder, which looks like a little antenna. The bee has to carry this transponder, which looks huge. It's about 15 millimeters long, this little antenna on the back, but it's very lightweight compared to the carrying capacity of a bee.
So the bees carry around these little transponders, and the scientists are able to track where they go day to day. And it turns out that different bees go on different journeys during the day. Some are exploring, looking for patches of flowers they've never been to before. Others are harvesting more nectar from patches that they've been to over and over again. But how do bees know where they've been before?
It is quite clear that bees do form memories that they can retrieve much later in their lives. They can return to locations they've been during that flight 10 days later. So they still remember them. And that in a bee's life is about a third of her lifespan. But they've visited, in this case, the location only a single time.
Wow, I don't think I can remember how to get to a place I'd only been once 10 years ago, which is about a third of my lifetime so far. Lars says that the bees are able to remember these things through their sense of smell.
Bees remember not just multiple locations, but they also remember how each of the flower patches at these locations, how they smell. And they remember the correct scent with the location. If you blow the scent associated with these distant spatial memories into the hive, these bees go, aha, I've smelled that in location A, and will fly straight to the location where they've experienced this scent. So it's not just a memory of a position in space, but there is also an odor attached to it. So these memories are quite rich.
Bees' memories are amazing. As Lars has learned more and more about bees' ability to think, feel, and navigate the world, he says that he's become more and more careful with the bees in his care.
These insights have changed how we treat bees in the laboratory. We are trying to keep them in ways that are conducive to their well-being, and we want to minimize suffering in any kind of research that we do. And I try to encourage colleagues to do the same.
I think that bees are incredible creatures, and I'm grateful that we have pollinators like them to make the world a better place. So the next time you see a bee, don't be scared. Be careful and try to imagine what the world is like from that little bee's perspective. That might bring a little more wonder into your day.
Just a word or two now for parents. I'm Marcus Smith, host of Constant Wonder, the podcast from which Constant Wonder Kids originates. Constant Wonder, the original version produced for grown-ups, contains a whole lot of great stuff for kids, but it has rich detail of great interest to grown-ups as well. We suspect you may want to hear the original version devoted to the fascinating world of bee research, including what bees can teach us about AI and machine learning. If you want to hear the full presentation, go find Constant Wonder wherever you get your podcasts. The episode to look for is titled Exploring the Mind of a Bee. From there, it's just like giving a mouse a cookie because you'll want to have more. Enjoy episode after episode in your own ongoing quest for wonder in the world, anywhere and everywhere it can be found. Stay fully alive in this world by making room for wonder. Subscribe to Constant Wonder on your favorite platform. Constant Wonder Kids was produced by Paige Crumperman-Darrington with sound design by Mitchell Towsley. Tenery Taylor is the executive producer. Constant Wonder Kids is a production of BYU Radio.